Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Mike Capone to the broadcast. Mike is the Corporate Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Automatic Data Processing Incorporated. Combining a unique blend of client-facing operational experience and strong technical knowledge, Mike guides both product development and information technology. ADP's R&D organization delivers products that support more than 500,000 clients, while its IT professionals are responsible for enterprise security, infrastructure, messaging, and business applications. Under Mike's leadership as CIO, ADP has been recognized as one of the top 25 most influential technology vendors for 2009 by the Aberdeen Group. Mike is a 20-year veteran of ADP and has held positions in product development, information technology, and operations. Most recently, he has been Senior Vice President and General Manager of GlobalView, an award-winning multilingual, multi-currency human resources outsourcing solution. In this role, Mike led ADP's efforts to develop a global HR BPO business for large multinational corporations in partnership with SAP. Mike holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Computer Science from Dickinson College and an MBA in Finance from Pace University. I recently interviewed Mike in his office in Roseland, New Jersey, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, People, as we discussed ADP's smart shoring initiatives. Principle 2, Infrastructure, as we discussed ADP's use of cloud computing, as well as a major data center consolidation that is underway. Principle 5, External Partnerships, as we discussed ADP's historical role as an outsourcer to other companies, as well as some other topics. Mike Capone, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
All right, Peter. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Well, Mike, you are the first corporate-wide Chief Information Officer for ADP. So I wonder if you can take a moment and describe your role as well as describe why ADP chose at long last to develop the role.
So it's actually a pretty exciting story, Peter. Traditionally, ADP has segmented its IT operations. So we had the traditional IT organization, which was focused on data centers, networks, security, et cetera. At the same time, we were also a fairly large development shop. We called that our R&D organization. That was also managed separately. So operations reported into our CFO, and the R&D organization, our software development shop, reported into the COO. And that worked pretty well for a number of years. However, the world's changed. So over time, as software as a service became more prevalent, it became obvious to us as an organization that the concept of developing our software from the beginning to be in the software as a service hosted real-time on-demand environment became critical. So the thought came about that we should merge the organizations, get those two organizations aligned, working closer together to really develop world-class products that could be hosted in the software in a service world. At the same time, we had a third group, which was called our Enterprise Applications Group. So that's your traditional ERP, back office systems. That also was separate, reporting into our corporate controller. So a couple of years back, our CEO had the idea to sort of consolidate all the IT organizations into one big group under our CIO.
Okay. That sounds like quite an undertaking. Can you talk a little bit about how you elected to start, what some of the steps were in order to integrate what were three different organizations into one?
Sure. Well, as you can imagine, having very large groups across the organization, there's always some overlap and redundancy, right? So the first big step is really to try to understand the synergies within the organization, right? Eliminate the redundancy, really get people working more closely together. Second step was really to understand where the alignment should be. And things like transplanting people between the organizations, right, getting a cultural fit between the groups was really important. So really, the groups in themselves were functioning, so it was really just taking one and one and making four out of the two organizations. So what we decided to do was pull the groups together, do some people transplants, do some reorganization to make sure we're properly aligned, and then sort of pull a leadership team together that really understood our common goal, which is providing the best client experience that we could, and go from there.
Excellent. And as you were thinking about these changes, are there some skills that became, or even roles that became more prominent as a result of this consolidation?
Absolutely. So, you know, once again, when I think about ADP, I think about service. Our mantra, our history is steeped in a world-class service experience for our customers.
Yes.
A way we deliver that is through IT operations and through software development, so that we develop and provide the tools for our organization to deliver service. I think what maybe was missing a little bit from the IT organizations was a service mentality. So we had incredible software developers. We had incredible IT operations people. But those are not ends unto themselves, right? So what the people who actually started to rise to the top in the new organization were people who understood both. They understood the value of IT and what IT could bring to the business, but they also understood that our primary goal is to serve our customers and to make our field service organizations, our operations people, actually successful in their mission to provide world-class service.
That's great. I know that one of the priorities that you've talked about is in the hot topic around many IT departments is cloud computing. That's in the minds and on the lips of a lot of IT executives these days. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit about how ADP has contemplated cloud computing, the steps it's taken, some of the benefits it's already garnered, and so forth.
Sure. So this topic makes me laugh, right? Because cloud computing, it sounds like a relatively new concept. But quite honestly, we've been doing this for decades. You could even joke that ADP is the original cloud computing provider. For many, many years now, we've been offering, you know, on-demand software as a service applications to our customers in a hosted environment, right? So when you think about the things that define cloud computing and software as a service, multi-tenancy, you know, off-premise, you know, all the platform provided, we've been doing that for years. We just weren't clever enough to come up with a cool marketing term like cloud computing. So all the hype is great, but the reality is we've been doing this for a long time, and we've solved a lot of the problems that people are concerned about with the cloud today, things like security, for example. You know, we've had to have those measures in place for a long time. So we feel actually pretty comfortable in our cloud computing model, in our software as a service model. What's exciting for me as a CIO is now that sort of other segments are picking up on the model. So CRM, for example, you know, with the Salesforce.coms of the world, it gives me an opportunity to take some things that aren't core for me and move them out into the cloud, move them into software as a service mode, and not worry about those things. I'm highly focused on delivering world-class HR and payroll services to our clients. I'm very happy to let another third party who's really good at CRM take care of those things for me.
I see. That makes an awful lot of sense. Well, Mike, just as you talk about cloud computing and the fact that this is an organization that has been doing it long before it was a buzzword in the tech community, likewise, outsourcing is a topic that has become hot over the past 5, 6, 7 years, something like that, yet ADP is an organization that has been doing it for much longer. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about ADP's role in outsourcing, more generally speaking.
Sure, that's an excellent point, Peters. So I talked a little bit about software as a service before and, you know, sort of compared us to the Salesforce.coms of the world, and I think it's probably half the story, right? So we leverage software as a service as an enabler, as a delivery mechanism for our overall service experience, right? And I think the difference between ADP and maybe some of the current software as a service providers is that deep service culture. So we don't provide a platform for you to do your work. We actually bring a tremendous amount of domain expertise, statutory compliance, for example, all of the things that traditionally you wouldn't want to worry about inside your organization. So when you think about outsourcing, it really is the full package. Yes, we provide the platform, and that's the enabler. But the reality is we bring so much more to the table in terms of our domain expertise around HR, payroll, time and labor, taking care of all the statutory compliance issues. So I think everybody knows it's been a fairly active year in terms of statutory changes. The Obama administration has been fairly aggressive in this space. ADP takes that headache away from you. So it's really the combination of our deep service expertise as well as our platform and our software as a service on demand computing model that I think brings the whole value to our customers.
That's great. And it strikes me, actually, that as a business, that where the main job of the business centers around information and the managing of information, that technology actually plays a strong role in this.
Absolutely. I mean, as you can imagine, we hold a tremendous amount of information on behalf of our customers. And, you know, part of our mission, our goal is to help customers make sense of all that information, right? So not only to just take care of the day-to-day, get employees paid on time, get money into bank accounts, get the taxes filed with the government, but also to extract strategic value out of that information back to our clients so that they can manage their workforce more effectively, that they can make, you know, strategic decisions around their workforce, etc. So for us, it really is an exciting world in that we're not just a transaction processor anymore. We really view ourselves as a value-added information provider.
That's great. I know another priority that you've mentioned recently is the data center consolidation for the organization. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about the impetus for this as well as some of the goals you hope to achieve once it's been fully realized.
Sure. So this is a real success story for us. Back around circa 2003-2004, one of my predecessors recognized a great opportunity. We actually had 20 different data centers just around the U.S. alone. A lot of inefficiency built into the system. And, you know, we grew up through acquisition. We grew up sort of as independent companies in some ways, so not unusual. However, we made a conscious decision from the CEO on down that this was something we wanted to change. And we made a big investment. We set about building two Tier 4 data centers,
yes,
world-class, state-of-the-art data centers. And over the last few years, we've been in the process of consolidating those 20 data centers into these two. We're down to three left, you know, so we've got the two major ones and one more to consolidate in. In the process, we've accomplished a lot of things. One is we've sort of upgraded our operational excellence. So these centers are world-class in terms of high availability and in terms of infrastructure. They're unparalleled. We feel very good about the experience we can provide our customers with these data centers. Also quite interesting is we've become a lot more green. So as a byproduct of this, not only have we reduced sort of our power footprint just by consolidating the data centers, but we consciously decided that anything that went into these data centers, any new servers we would build, any new equipment, had to meet certain standards around power. In that way, we've actually reduced our carbon emissions by about 24,000 tons over this period. So really excited about it. Big savings for ADP. We estimate we're saving about $70 million a year by doing the consolidation, and probably more to come.
That's excellent. Given the fact that the data that we're talking about is some of the most sensitive data that people have, their payroll data, information about them, address, et cetera, I wonder if you could talk about the methods that you've used in terms of that consolidation, some of the steps you've employed, maybe some of the challenges you've overcome, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Well, the most important thing is, you know, measure twice, cut once, right? So we spent a lot of time planning. Before we started the consolidation, we spent a year doing nothing but mapping it out, right? Working not only with, you know, architects and planners, and we hired some consulting to help us build out the data centers, but we also spent a lot of time with the business because at the end of the day, we wanted to make sure there was absolutely no disruption for our customers. So it was a very thoughtful, methodical process where we consolidated these centers down into the two. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud to say that we actually accomplished it without any customer disruption. At the same time, again, because we said we had a unique opportunity, and when can you really rebuild your infrastructure from the ground up, we made a lot of calls. I already talked about the fact that we consciously wanted more green equipment. But we also said this is a great opportunity to review our security procedures, you know, how we think about protecting our customer assets and take it to the next level. So as part of that, we did a full security review. We brought in some third parties who were very good at this, and we came up with enhanced security schemes and data protection for our customers. And we feel very good about the measures we put in place to protect our customers' data.
That's wonderful. Another area that I know that ADP has been a leader is smart shoring, so-called smart shoring. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the rationale behind smart shoring, as well as some of the processes that ADP IT has gone through in order to determine how best to go about that.
Sure. So, you know, IT at ADP right now, it's about 3,500 people. So it's a fairly large workforce. It's about 10% of our U.S. or North American employee base. When I think about IT, I don't necessarily think about it in terms of offshore, onshore. I think about it in terms of global IT. Mm-hmm. So we're a company that continues to expand its international footprint.
Yes.
We get approximately 20% of our revenues from sort of international sources outside of the U.S.
Yes.
And I think about IT the same way, right? So we like to put IT resources where we can get the best value. That may be here in the U.S. I've got a very large staff here in New Jersey. I've got people in California. I've got people now in India. I've got a very large workforce in India. I've got a burgeoning workforce in China and growing. So we're expanding where it makes sense. And the way I communicate with my organization is we're global. Our business is global. Our customers are global. Mm-hmm. And our IT workforce is global. And if I can develop a product in the U.S. that works in India, I'm happy to do that. If I can develop a product in India that works in the U.K., I'll do that. It's whatever makes best sense for the business and where it can derive the best value.
That makes a lot of sense. And is the process of determining whether to build overseas with ADP employees versus leveraging resources, contracted resources in those different geographies, is there a plan in place for that? Is there a method you use? Or is it sort of, you call it as you see it, depending on the geography you're going into?
So we've made a conscious decision to actually own our R&D resources by and large. So we decided a while back that we really want to have direct control over not only our R&D, but also our operations teams as well. Now, that doesn't mean we don't sort of spot fill, you know, areas where we need some extra help with consulting. Of course, we do, like most companies do. What we haven't done is gone into a third-party partnership with a, you know, an Infosys or somebody to do those types of work for us. That model clearly works for other people, and I've seen it work well. We've just decided that we thought it was too critical to our business, and we wanted to own those resources since it is our product. That said, when we test a new geography, sometimes we will plant a seed with a partner, third party, do something small. But once it gets to be critical mass, then we say, you know what, it's time for us to own it. And then we'll either do an acquisition or we'll sort of do a ground-up build of some infrastructure and then hire some people.
Excellent. You've mentioned several times now the acquisitive nature of ADP and the fact that this is an organization that has grown to a tremendous extent through acquisition.
Right.
I wonder if you could talk about the challenges that IT faces through those acquisitions, the role it plays in making sure that people are brought on, if there are methods to determine how best to replace certain aspects of their technology while letting other aspects of them continue to be independent or perhaps different from the rest.
Sure. I haven't met a CIO who doesn't face this challenge,
yes,
right?
Of course,
and it's
of course.
Particularly in a very acquisitive company. So we face the same challenge. You know, our product portfolio is a good mix of we bought some companies and some products or some assets. We've built a large number on our own.
Yes.
And we even have some partnerships, some third-party partnerships that we actually work with customers. We've got an excellent partnership with a company called Cornerstone On Demand that does talent management solutions. So getting all this to work together is definitely a challenge. Typically, when we acquired a company, it's because they were very successful, right? Mm-hmm. So they're obviously doing something right.
Exactly.
So you don't necessarily want to go in and just do a blanket rip and replace. I've heard, you know, some very aggressive stories from other organizations, other CIOs saying, you know what, we're just going to go in, we're going to apply our models, our technology, our standards, and, you know, that's just how it is.
Yes.
That is a model.
Yes.
We tend to be a little bit more thoughtful about it. We like to look at what's working, what's not working. Mm-hmm. Over time, it is our goal to replatform everybody and, you know, get them on our standards, our Oracle database standards, for example.
Yes.
But we do that in a very sort of thoughtful way. So now that said, as integration becomes more and more critical, we've had to accelerate some of those things because even though a standalone product may work very, very well, getting integration to work successfully often depends on having the right technologies in place. So, you know, where we've got an integration challenge, we tend to replatform and sort of re-standardize products much more quickly than if it's just going to be a standalone business that we're going to let operate on its own.
Understood. I was also interested to learn that you developed a blog soon after you took your current position. Not that this is necessarily such a new idea, but I'm wondering what led you to think to do this and the benefits you've garnered from having developed one.
So always looking for new ways to communicate with our associates, right? Yeah. As I think most people tell you, you can never communicate too much, right? So traditionally, though, it hasn't been a form of communication that ADP's embraced, which is blogging, executives blogging. We've been a fairly conservative organization.
Right.
That said, we've been through an unprecedented time over the last 12 months, right? We've seen things happen in the economy and in the business that, quite frankly, we've never seen before as an organization, right? So it became even more imperative that there was an ongoing dialogue and communication with our associates. As a technology leader, obviously, I also had to demonstrate that we're embracing, you know, sort of the newest tools. Mm-hmm. And from my perspective, it's all about attracting talent, right? And there's an expectation out there in the Gen Y people that, you know, this is just how people communicate these days,
exactly.
Right? So for all those reasons, wanting to communicate more, wanting to embrace the channels that the sort of the up-and-coming workers are used to, mm-hmm. I decided to launch a blog, and it's been fantastic. It's very much a two-way dialogue, so I put my thoughts out there. We allow people to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that it's right out in the open, people are very candid and honest, and we get threads going on various topics, the globalization of IT, for example. We're working through a new user experience design for our customers, you know, refreshing our UI. So I've kind of put my thoughts out there about that and solicited great feedback, and we've actually had some outstanding organic ideas come up from the workforce that, quite frankly, I don't think we would have received if we didn't have the blog out there and giving people this, you know, sort of fun, very non-threatening way to communicate.
That's great. Well, you speak of the prominence of Web 2.0 technologies and beyond, especially among the younger workforce. I wonder if you can look into your own crystal ball and think a little bit about the future. What are some technologies that particularly excite you thinking 2 or 3 or 4 years down the road?
Probably the most exciting, Peter, is this whole concept of social CRM. So I think the whole idea of communities and allowing your customers to communicate with one another and actually help one another, I think, is a fantastic idea. So we're starting to embrace that and pilot some of it now. There are some organizations that are a little further ahead than we are, perhaps, but clearly we understand this is the direction we're going. So our goal really is to create these communities, just facilitate and enable, you know, our customers to post thoughts, ideas, share best practices, and communicate with one another. When one has a challenge, you know, maybe another customer who's lived it can solve it. And it's not just about ADP, right? It's about their day-to-day lives as an HR practitioner or a payroll practitioner. So that's probably the most exciting thing for me. You know, mobile, I think, you know, is becoming fairly ubiquitous right now. So, you know, we're embarking on a fairly aggressive strategy. First, to figure out what solutions make sense for mobile, right? You don't want to develop a solution that's looking for a problem, right? And I've seen that with mobile. Isn't this a cool mobile application? Yes, but why would anybody ever use that, right? You know, I don't think you're going to, you know, enter, you know, data for a 200-man payroll on an iPhone, right? I do think you're going to want to view your payslip on an iPhone. You're going to want to get a notification when your direct deposit is at your bank account, et cetera. So I think there's lots of opportunity for things like that. And so we're embracing that, you know, full speed ahead.
That's wonderful. And are there processes in place or groups in place to investigate these kinds of ideas and think about their application here at ADP?
Absolutely. So we have innovation teams that are set up to address these various issues. These are sort of volunteer task forces led by our architecture group, our CTO. And we actually have these innovation teams. We spin them off and they come back to us with various types of suggestions on what we can do, and that's for sort of just the ground up newer technology. Obviously, we have a very advanced product marketing group that is also doing all the market research. So the idea is to kind of marry up, you know, the GWiz technology folks with the market research, come up with very cool solutions to real business problems, and then deliver them out to our clients.
That's great. Well, Mike Capone, thank you so much for joining us in the forum on World Class IT.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Just listen to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to Meta Strategies' five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people, doing the right jobs at the right time, it will be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure, defined as software, hardware, networks. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will likely become stuck in a reactive mode, constantly fighting fires. And if systems and hardware work reliably, on the other hand, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It's important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and quality assurance, through to support and all other aspects of the IT department, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business. Now, if the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy-setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming crucial to corporations, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com. And please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metisstrategy.com. Our sound editor is Chris Davis, our web editor is Christian Dooley, and our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.